Well, hello again, everybody, and welcome back to the Trek Podcast of Joy on this beautiful Sunday, July 14th, 2019. Welcome back to my channel. Welcome back to this episode. Again, talking today on this new series that has been almost daily, that has been a series of personal contemplations, conclusions, summaries, observations of the last 10 years, last 3 years, last 5 years, all of the above, that my hope is will give you a glimpse into the life of an empath. If you are a creative, an empath, someone that feels things deeply, hopefully my rambling slash observations will help you along your own journey. Calling this one the end. No, the wait is over. The wait is over. I think there's a song back in the 80s that was something like that. Like, the wait is over. You have lived it all the while. Or the search is over. That's what I meant. Yes, the search is over. Yes. Journey, one of those bands. Well, let me tell you what I mean by the search is over. So, let's see. I think it was, yes, my famous 10 years ago. Everything seems to be about 10 years ago. About 10 years ago, I left worship as a profession, worship leading, to become a lead pastor. First, I was an administrator for 3 years. And then after that, I was a lead pastor at different places, the last 7 years or so. But my calling to be a lead pastor has been upon me, I would say, for the last 20, 30 years. I had been invited, asked, prodded, pushed to be a lead pastor, to be first an associate pastor and then a lead pastor since I was in my mid-20s. But like Jonah, I had been disobedient to that heavenly call. Some of it maybe was fear. Some of it was a lack of direction. Some of it, I think it was when you're a worship leader and you're a gifted worship leader, people have a hard time letting go of that. And I'm sure I also had my own doubts, but I really don't think that I had many doubts. It was just something that happened. I'm not sure still to this day, but anyway, I finally listened to God and here I am. But the problem was that when I left worship, I remember my father-in-law said to me, almost like a warning, maybe I wonder if he wasn't sure that I should jump ship. He said, you know that once you leave worship, you are on your own. You're out from under the umbrella. And I understand now what he meant. Once you go from being the employee to the boss, now you are the target. There is no one above you protecting you. There is no boss. There is no lead pastor. You're not protected by anyone except by the Lord, really, by your wife, by your family. If you are a leader of anything, a nonprofit, an organization, a business, you know that being at the top or being the leader, being the owner of anything is very lonely, very dangerous, very, very difficult. It's rewarding. But as my mom said about my father, who was also a pastor, es duro pero bonito. It's very hard, but it is good. It is fun. And so the last 10 years, I have suffered from deep trauma. And as you know, my anxiety has been through the roof. And I think it's finally coming to an end this summer, as in this month of July, June, July, when my body began to freak out and I got this gallbladder thing or whatever it is. It's just some pain that it started in my stomach and or in my intestines. And anyway, I don't want to get into it. It's kind of one of those things, but I think I'm fine. I don't think I need any surgery or anything like that, but it has brought about this realization of where my body has been. Let me just say it clearly. I am convinced that these symptoms that I've actually been feeling for maybe 4 to 5 months since about February are 99,000% a result of what I've been through the last 3 years, and in many ways the last 10 years. This is a spiritual, physical, and psychological end to the story or the way I've been living, which has been living in fear. Living in some ways like I lived before I did worship, before I came into worship, I felt afraid to be deported. As you know, my story, I dealt with all kinds of immigration fears, and I was constantly afraid of two things growing up in my teens and 20s. One is that my grandmother would die and that I would be left alone. I grew up with my grandma in a one bedroom, which is her and I. I didn't have my parents, my sisters, etc. And then second, that I would be deported and sent back to my hometown. And I didn't want to go back. There was a war and political unrest, and I just wanted to stay here and do my life here. I knew that I was meant to be in this beautiful country to meet my wife and children, etc. So, but then when I found worship as a career, I found my way. I found the stability that I longed for financially. I found my career path. You know, I thought I wanted to be an engineer, but I really wasn't sure about that. I didn't really know what to do with that degree. So when the Lord led me to being a pastor, a worship pastor, it was a dream come true. But then, as I said, when I knew it was time to leave the church in that way and to be a lead pastor, not a church planter, but a lead pastor, I didn't know exactly how to do that. I didn't exactly even know that that's what I wanted to do, although maybe much of me was ready and knew it, but I still was doubting, I guess. I'm not sure. But instead of going right into lead pastor positions, and because I didn't have my master's at the time, I was still in seminary, and a lot of just doubt, a lot of just self-doubt. I went into this self relying on myself mode for, yes, 10 years, 9 years, 10 years. And that's come to a head this summer. In February of this year, it was the last straw I had, as I've mentioned here before, a pretty horrible conversation with a church leader who just went off on me for an hour, pretty much, just saying all kinds of negative things. And the worst part is that even though I defended myself for some of it, I agreed with him for maybe half of it, if not more, which only showed my lack of self-awareness. And so I'm here now, and God has been just revealing himself in powerful ways to me. And recording these episodes, I think, has been therapeutic for me. I have dealt with fear that I'm not going to make it. There's something wrong with my health. That, you know, every time something hurts, and this is not new, if you are an anxious type, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But then there have been these amazing miracles. I am feeling better slowly. But this is not just about some GI problem or some pain. This is about years of exhaustion. 3 years, for sure, of fighting the good fight. And like Elijah, as I said a few episodes ago, or like Paul, like Jesus on the cross, now this is the time to recover. It's almost like I'm going through a death and a resurrection. In some ways, I am dying to have done things the last 10 years, meaning it's all on me. I'm afraid to lose my job, my salary, my future financially and otherwise is on somebody else's hands. I'm not trusting in God. I'm trusting, and not even trusting, fearing man. Psalm 27, even though I pray that every day for years, it never became true. It says, do not fear man. Instead, I feared man all the time. And so all these immigrant things came back, all these fears, all these things about I'm not qualified, I'm nothing, I'm not good enough, all these fears, even though inside of me, I've always known that I am called, gifted, and anointed. And I especially always will thank my friend Josh, pastor here in the area. Thank you, my brother Josh. He was the first leader in the church after 30 years in ministry who in many ways blessed me and anointed me to be a preacher of the good news. Without knowing me from Adam, without knowing anything about me except maybe that I used to go to his church when I was a little kid, and that I interviewed to be the pastor. This is another one of these moments. So as far as my anointing that's always been on me, maybe 20 years ago, I had a church in the area approach me to say, would you be the lead pastor of this church here in downtown Long Beach? We think you'd be a great fit. And of course I was. Everything about that should have been an obvious yes. Instead, I said no. And it was all meant to be, because my dear friend Josh became the pastor 10 years later. And the church has exploded to almost 1,000, if not more, and 2 campuses. And he's just amazing. And even just today, I saw a picture of him anointing a couple to be the lead pastors of their sister church in El Monte. And so, but Josh, the pastor of this church, also anointed me without him knowing it. And it wasn't an official thing, or there was no picture taken. But he also saw my gifts at a time when I believed very little about myself. I was coming back to California from Colorado. My ego, or my whatever confidence I mean to say, was on the ground, on just dirt low. It was just gone. And he invited me as a guest speaker at his church of 1,000 or so, maybe then it was 700. And yeah, at first it was like New Year's and Christmas, but eventually it was like regular Sundays, summer or spring, just here and there, maybe 3, 4, 5 times he allowed me to speak and to preach. And every time, people, I have no idea why, they would give me a standing ovation, just a standing ovation. Even my father-in-law came and saw me, and he's like, wow. He said, you know, some people can speak to 1, 10, hundreds and thousands, and you're someone who can speak to thousands. And that was the, I guess that was the day that I believed. That was only 5 years ago, 7 years ago. That wasn't that long ago, guys. It wasn't that long ago. I have always doubted my calling to be a speaker and a lead pastor. For 30 years, I have doubted. And I am embarrassed to say that, embarrassed to admit it. But that's how strong shame can be. And I'm not insecure, but I definitely was fearful and didn't believe. And so finally, as I said, I came into my own in the last 7, 8 years. I became an administrator first. I succeeded. I kicked butt at that, in that role. I was basically the co-pastor, did everything but the preaching, and I did preach once in a while. But then after that, I focused finally, and I have become the lead pastor the last 6, 7 years of different churches. But it hasn't been easy. Like when I started doing worship, it has been difficult. And especially, as I've said, this last church has been very difficult. But I believe that God has given us the victory, and that internally there is a ton of health. And I think we're pretty much there. Now it's just a matter of continuing to build this year and to heal and to restore myself, our church, our facility. And then in 2020, begin the journey. Yes, begin the journey, year 4, of restoring the future and building the future of this church. In Jesus' name, for the sake of the kingdom of God. And this year is going to be about healing for me, healing spiritually, physically, losing weight. I've gained a ton of weight. I haven't been taking care of my body in a long time. And but it's not even all that. I mean, the symptoms in my body are just a manifestation of what I'm going through inside. It's about trusting in God. It's about not fearing anymore. I'm off today from speaking, and this is the first time in about 10 years that I have not felt afraid to lose my job. I mean, that's how afraid I've been. That even though I have vacation, and you know, any normal employee would not be afraid to take a vacation day, But because of my own trauma and all the things I've mentioned before about my childhood, I have lived in fear just to take a Sunday off. Just to take a Sunday off. I have lived in fear of getting fired, of, you know, this whole trauma of immigration and of my grandma. I mean, all I can tell you is that even after counseling and all this stuff, I have lived in captivity to that fear. Never really come into my own anointing and my own strength and God's strength as a leader. In worship, of course, I felt it, but that's because I did that for 20 years. And of course, I felt so encouraged and blah, blah, blah. But when I made this switch to what I really am, which is a lead pastor, a leader, and a man of God and a servant of the Most High, as a lead pastor, I began this downward spiral, which is now finally coming to an end. And that's why, as the 80s song says, the search is over. The search for the real me is over. I have finally found the real me, the true me, the me who is, as a man, dependent upon God, not gifts or fear. A man who is here to serve others, not to glorify myself or to demean myself, but to bring glory to Jesus and to help people. A man who is not concerned about his gifts or lack of gifts, but a man who's willing to give everything he's got for the sake of the gospel and the sake of others. But also a man who's not trying to be everything. I'm aware of what I am and what I'm not. I'm aware of the gifts that I have and don't have. And I have built first a family and then a church and a leadership team around my gifts and also the things that I need around me. And this is just the beginning. It's going to take me this rest of this year to completely heal. It'll be Christmas when I will be able to celebrate whatever God is doing in my life. And next year, January and February and Easter and the rest of next year will be the beginning of this next chapter in my life as a servant of God, confident in Christ, anointed by God, called by God, and not afraid of man. And knowing that if troubles come my way, first, I've already been through so many that you develop a thicker skin. And then second, knowing that I don't have to be afraid to take a Sunday off. That no one is out to get me. There is no ICE agent knocking on my door. And I mean, I can just be honest. That's exactly how this has felt. I mean, the trauma of an immigrant, of a little boy when I was 8, 9, 10, who didn't know if his grandma was going to make it through the night, is traumatic. And anxiety is real, and it has cost me a lot. And yet, I continue to be strong. Like my kids say, Papi, you are a walking miracle. I believe that. And I believe that I'm a miracle for a purpose. First, it's been to lead worship and to help people through music, and now it is to be a worshiper, but now through being a lead pastor, a speaker, a leader, and a servant of men, of people. And I know that we will not be shaken. I know that we will get there. I know that this church right now, we are maybe like at 80 or 100 people, and we will, not that numbers is everything, but when you're at almost near zero and you almost die as a church, you definitely become aware of these things. I think I believe with confidence that one day we will be at 1,000 people in maybe 2 or 3 different satellite churches. I have no idea, and I'm 50, so I hope that we do this quickly, because I don't want to be 75 by the time I see this. I actually want to enjoy the fruits of our labor. And so that is what's coming to an end. This is the search that has been going on, and the search is over. I have found, and I am finding, let me call it maybe that way, I'm finding what I've been looking for. Unlike Bono and his song, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I have found what I've been looking for, and that is myself, after 10 years of feeling lost and being in the desert. I have found my way forward. I can say that I know how to survive the next 30, 40 years in church ministry. It's going to be by trusting in God, leaning not on my own understanding, being true to myself, believing that he has called me anointed, and most of all, not being afraid of man. What can man do to me? There is no ICE agent coming to get me. There is no ambulance taking my grandma away. There is no illness that's ready to take my life. There is no other shoe that is about to drop. That does not exist. That is just a construct of my imagination. All that is really there is the love of God, of my wife, of our children, of my mom, of in the example of my father and my grandmother, and the love of my church. That's who's outside my screen door. They're the ones that are waiting for me. And most of all, it's Jesus and his Holy Spirit. They're the ones that are waiting outside my door, knocking, as Revelation 3 says, waiting for me to let them in. And guess what? The search is over. Come in, Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come and enter my life. Take over my life. Take over my fears. Take over my anxiety. Take over my depression. Take over my discouragement, disillusionment. Take over the pain of being attacked by so many people. Take over all that I need. Because this church is yours. My life is yours. Everything is yours. And I thank God for how he's given me an amazing wife. I thank God for our three children. Today is our son's 16th birthday. We have now a 16-year-old, an 18, and a 20-year-old. Can you believe that? Amazing. And all of that is the grace of God. Man, I still have my mom here on this earth. My father is now with Jesus, same with my grandma. But I have my mom. I have my sisters. I have my, as I said, my wife. I'm blessed. I have a church. We have all that we need. We had a party here just on Friday night, and we had 35 people here just eating and enjoying, singing songs. We prayed for like an hour. It was a blessed time. All is well. I am still recovering. It'll take me, as I said, a few more months to be fully healed and fully recovered from this traumatic experience. But I know that God is real. And I tell you all this so that you also can trust in God. If you are an empath, a high creative type, an artistic type, an achiever, someone who is a dreamer and a visionary, someone who hurts, someone who feels, someone who is sensitive, someone who is highly sensitive. I think they call us HSP, right? Highly sensitive individuals or people. If you relate to my story, then there is hope. You may be in the middle of a horrible time of physical pain, of emotional pain, of depression, anxiety, of sadness. You feel like you're never going to get better. All I can tell you is it is well with my soul. God is there. He will not let you fall. He is never weary. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will not let you fall. You will not be shaken. Hang on to Jesus. He is with you, not for you. He's for you, not against you. He's with you. He is with you every step of the way. He will never leave you. And you don't have to be angry, strong. You don't have to be weak. You don't have to be ashamed of your weakness. In fact, as we know, in our weakness, his strength is perfect. That is my hope. That is my example to you. And guess what? We are meant to paint the world, to make life beautiful. That's why we feel the way we feel, because we are meant to love. We're lovers. We're doers. We're leaders. We're lovers, but we do it through our heart, through our emotions. And when our emotions get all whacked out, and our emotions and maybe some genetic predisposition and blah, 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 then we get off track. But I'm here to tell you that there is hope, that God is with you. He is your strength. He will never let you fall. Thank you so much for listening. Please share this episode with five of your friends, and I will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android.
Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.